Success depends on previous preparation, and without such preparation, there is sure to be failure. A famous quote from Confucius. For many of us, this will be the first weekend of the year out in the boat. Did you know that something as simple as a cracked live well hose can cause your boat to sink? Yours truly suggests you prepare for your first trip and wear your PFD. Walleye season opens in most fishery management zones this weekend, but some areas are closed for another week. So check your annual fishing regulations guide for details. And keep in mind, the water temperatures are still quite cold at this time of year. So what do hybrid wolves look like? I mean, details like teeth, head size, and even the way they walk. Well, it takes a long-time trapper and hunter to answer these questions.
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
Rick Verkruzen from All Out Angling Guide Service shares some basics on how to be a successful walleye angler this season. Longtime trapper and hunter Darcy Elkerton joins us to chat about coyote and wolf hunting, then and now. And senior wildlife biologist with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters, Mark Rickman, is in studio to discuss the recent results of the coyote and wolf EBR, plus the Yozuri Outdoor Quiz and more on today's Angler and Hunter Radio.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org. Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus knives stay sharper, longer.
Did you know four species of invasive fish known as Asian carps are threatening to invade the Great Lakes?
These fish have the potential to devour the food sources and habitat our native fish depend on and negatively impact our ability to enjoy our lakes and rivers. Help prevent the introduction of Asian carps. Report sightings to the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSE Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce, tough, proven.
Welcome to the voice of anglers and hunters, Angler and Hunter Radio. Catching walleye can be tricky. If they're not buying what you're selling, it can be a long day. And no one knows more about this than two-time Canada-US walleye champion and professional fishing guide, Rick Verkruzen. So, Rick, walleye fishing, it's opening weekend. Where the heck do I go to catch one of these things?
Well, it's going to be a funny year. A lot of the spawning is pretty much behind as far as the lakes go. And it's going to be tough to be, for sure. I would say definitely if you get close to some kind of running water, anywhere close to the spawning grounds, you're definitely going to be spawning some fish or, you know, some shallow bays adjacent to the spawning areas, that sort of thing.
Okay, so I guess typically they're going to spawn in, like, windswept areas where their eggs can get some aeration. Or more current areas. I would caution some of the listeners that some of the current areas are closed this weekend. So if you just happen to be catching all kinds of fish and there's nobody around you, you might be in a sanctuary. But they should be around these spawning areas. And generally speaking, is depth something that varies a lot, or where would you start?
Well, typically I always try to start shallow. Mm-hmm. This time of year, the water is going to be warmer if it's shallower water. And certainly, first thing in the morning is when you want to be out there, crack of dawn. That's when your best bite's going to be happening. And typically, the bite dies off as the sun comes up. So you want to try and get on them right away.
Right. Now, for our listeners who are just so eager to get out there that they want to get out at nighttime, I guess walleyes are nocturnal, so maybe a good time to fish too?
Absolutely. An awesome technique would be trolling at nighttime. It seems that a lot of bigger fish get caught trolling at nighttime. The only thing you got to watch for sure if you're fishing in the quarters or in zone 17 is there is a slot limit in place, and you want to be sure what you can and can't keep.
Yeah, so I guess the real takeaway from all this is, you know, find some areas like a mid-lake shoal, islands, areas where they'll spawn, areas where there's current, but read the regulations, because when it comes to walleye, there's some lakes where you're good to go, there's other lakes where you're not allowed to fish at all, there's some lakes with areas where you cannot fish within the lake or within areas that feed into the lake. So just a little warning there to make sure you read your regulations for sure. Now, for trolling for walleye, any particular baits that you prefer?
You know what? You can't go wrong with your regular standard Rapala, whether it be jointed, a shad wrap, or just the old-fashioned Rapalas. You can't go wrong with them. Or a spinner and a worm, you know, like a Vibrex or a MEPS. With a worm behind it, you can't go wrong. Worm harnesses work very well, all those sorts of things, yep.
Yeah, and, you know, a little bit of worm on the end, I guess, is always going to help. And the fact that they are nocturnal, using a Rapala or some sort of a spinner with a worm on it, it's going to keep your bait, you know, I guess, mid-depth so that those suspended fish will be right in their strike zone and bring some coffee out with you because it's probably going to be cold.
No doubt. Most opening days, it is pretty chilly on the water.
Now,
another thing is live bait. Live bait can really turn things in your direction. I've seen it where that if you didn't tip your jig with a piece of minnow or a piece of worm, that you wouldn't catch any fish at all.
Yeah,
it's very important.
That's amazing how much of a difference that can make. And I think one of the techniques that we used to do a lot, and we do occasionally still do, is what we call drifting. So we'd get out in the boat, cast out, like you say, like a worm or a minnow. Just keep it simple on a floating jig head or some sort of a Lindy rig, and just drift. And you're bound to run into them, you know, kind of strategically place yourself in areas. There again, they like to spawn mid-lake shoals, islands, areas of current, anywhere where their eggs are going to get some some aeration so that they can adhere to some rocks, and it takes care of their young. That's an important part for walleyes, and they won't be far from those areas. More walleye tactics with All Out Angling fishing guide Richard Verkruzen after these words from our sponsors.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can you legally retrieve harvested game from private property without permission from the landowner? We'll have the answer when we return after these important words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge. Pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Mike Miller here from Angler and Hunter Television. Aquatic invasive species and fish-killing diseases like VHS threaten the health of Lake Simcoe. By taking 2 minutes to clean, drain, and dry your boat every time you take it out of the water, you will help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species into Lake Simcoe and other water bodies in Ontario. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program as part of the Operation Boat Clean campaign.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Going fishing this summer? You should know that invasive species can be spread to new areas through the improper disposal of bait. If using live bait fish, buy locally. Never dump your leftover bait or bait bucket water into or within 30 meters of a water body. It's illegal. Freeze or salt unused bait for future use or properly dispose of it in the trash. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season too. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can you legally retrieve harvested game from private property without permission from the landowner? You require landowner permission to access private property. Try to avoid this from happening by talking to landowners adjacent to the property you are hunting before heading out.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. You know, walleye are one of the most popular freshwater game fish in North America, and they can be difficult to catch. Rick Verkruzen from All Out Angling Guide Service has joined us to offer a few tips and tactics for this season. So in terms of casting now, for those of us who just like to cast over and over and over and over again, like we do, Rick, I know you and I like to do that. We've talked about the Rapalas, and you know what? For sure, I don't think I can think of a better lure than a shad wrap. Early in the morning, probably a great way to catch a walleye. Anything else that you like to use?
Well, I like tying my own bucktails. Get a lot of satisfaction out of catching fish that you tie your own bucktails with. Typically, it's a bit of a faster presentation. It's more of an impulsive bite or a triggered bite rather than a Lindy rig or something where you're using live bait slowly along the bottom. Anything like that, little grubs, things that hop along the bottom. Walleye seem to love them.
So we're looking at jigs here. A jig, like a bucktail jig, would be like a deer hair type jig. And then, of course, like you say, grubs. Now, any colors that you like? Is it something that's pretty consistent, or do you like to vary them?
Well, you can't go wrong with white, and you can't go wrong with brown. Your typical pumpkin seed has always worked very well. Varying the color of your head can sometimes make a difference. Sometimes, you know, if you use a pumpkin seed with a pink head, it seems to matter for the fish, you know. And certainly watercolors. You want to watch how clear the water is. Maybe a little more natural if the water's clearer. And if the water's more stained, you might want to brighten your colors up a little bit.
Right. And what kind of water would you prefer? Would it be clear or stained?
Well, I would say stained water is always better than clear water when it comes to walleye. They seem to do better in general. It seems that stained water is always the preference.
Yeah. So, I mean, for listeners, I mean, that can really help you find that kind of spot on a spot, and just to kind of rehack what Rick just talked about in terms of working a jig a little bit quicker. If you can picture a household cat and you're dragging a toy by it and it just sits there and watches it and doesn't do anything, and that's basically what a walleye will do, especially in high pressure, when there's a high pressure cell. And sometimes that quick snap of a jig or making it move very quickly through the water will do the same thing as your cat's toy will do if you move it very quickly, and it'll get that kind of a quick reaction out of them and get them to bite. So some different things to experiment with, speed and different types of, just try and vary your depth and your color and types of lures as much as you can, because they are fussy, aren't they, Rick?
They're certainly very fussy. Another thing, you're going to try and find some kind of emergent weed this time of the year. There's not a lot of weeds out there, and if you can find a little bit of emergent weed, it can be real honey hole when it comes to finding walleyes.
Yeah, and I guess the best way to do that is just to drag your lure along the bottom.
Better keep an eye on that hummingbird, you know, watch the fish finder. Technology's really improved a lot these days. We can see underwater pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just driving around with side scan or any kind of 360 imaging or whatever, try and find those little clumps that are starting to come off the bottom, and definitely the fish love them.
Now, if somebody's maybe new to angling, maybe they've fished a lot, but they want to kind of step their game up, or maybe they're on a lake where there's walleyes, but they just can't seem to figure out where they are or how to catch them. How can you help them?
Well, I started a new company. It's called All Out Angling, where I take people out fishing, and whether they just want to go out on a day's fishing for fun, or if they want to learn, or if they're species specific, they want to learn particularly how to catch walleyes or how to catch bass, then I can certainly do that for them.
Right. So everything, and I mean, that comes in handy, especially, you know, if it's a lake, the particular lake that you like, or maybe what if it was like a father-son, mother-daughter, something like that for a half day. Do you do those too?
Absolutely. We do half days, do full days. We try to cover all the bases.
So you'll kind of customize a trip for the customer that, you know, depending on what they want to do. Maybe it's not walleye. Maybe it's muskie or who knows what.
Absolutely. We do muskie. We do perch, panfish. We'll do trout down the rivers. We're very good at doing that as well. And, basically whatever anybody wants to do, we'll get them out there and teach them how to do it.
Yeah,
so a lot of fun doing it.
If any of you listeners out there want to book a trip with Rick, by the way, he's a 2-time Canada U.S. Walleye Champion, and what have you won, about 18 or 20 bass major bass tournaments now, something like that?
I guess like 29.
29 major bass tournaments he's won, too. So if you want to book a trip with Rick, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get me on my email, which is at allatangling@outlook.com, or you can check out my website at allatangling.ca.
Alloutangling.ca. Thank you so much, Rick, for joining us today, and good luck out on the water catching some walleyes.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce, tough, proven.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna. A Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
Going fishing this summer? You should know that invasive species can be spread to new areas through the improper disposal of bait. If using live bait fish, buy locally. Never dump your leftover bait or bait bucket water into or within 30 meters of a water body. It's illegal. Freeze or salt unused bait for future use, or properly dispose of it in the trash. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Invasive plants are known to spread along walking trails and other natural areas people like to visit. You can help stop their spread by checking for and removing any seeds or plant parts that may have attached to your footwear, gear, or pets before you leave the trail. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season two. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSE Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
Joining us now is Darcy Alkerton from Nuisance Wildlife Control. How are you doing, Darcy?
Great.
So, coyote hunting, something that I've done a little bit of, and I have seen a few when I've been turkey hunting. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about, like, let's say they want to get started coyote hunting. What are they going to need in terms of equipment?
I've been fortunate to all my life to spend a lot of time with coyotes. Since I was 13 years old, I went with my father, and he strictly ran hounds at that time.
So okay.
There's two ways of coyote hunting, and I promote both of them. You know, any type of hunting is good. With the hounds, you know, there's a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of issues with health of your hounds, the purchase of the hound, the raising, the training. You know, it needs to run that one species that you're after and not off game. So there's a lot of control efforts, maybe expensive tracking equipment, but the enjoyment is unmeasurable because you don't have to see the coyote to hunt it. Your dogs are talking about it.
Yeah.
They're tonguing on it. I did that for quite a few years, 20 years, and started with hand-mouth calls.
Okay.
Predator calling was new to the term in their area. They worked great. The only problem was the breath would freeze up. And when it's really, really cold outside, that's when the predators need more food. That's when
that's what hunting's going to be
the most.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
I was looking for electronic equipment, and then I went to, you know, cassette players at that time were the big thing, and they didn't work properly in the cold. Then we went to CDs, and they still weren't as good until we got the digital collars. Digitals, there's no moving equipment. It's wireless control. You can put it away from yourself, and you can put a decoy in the field. So it really, really takes away from the animal looking at you. So when the coyote comes in, he's looking for an injured game or another coyote if you're using coyote barks. So it's changed the way we hunt, and very, very productive. And I tell people, smart coyotes know that rabbits don't die in the open field.
Yeah.
So, but when you're in a very limited bush area like Saskatchewan, you can call them out into the open. In Ontario, we have limited open fields, and it's easier, much easier, to call them in the bush. So we actually started keeping track of our success and how we could go into the bush and prove that our facts were right. So we called in the open, didn't see the coyotes, and then we started going 25, 30, 40 yards into the bush, and we crossed fresh coyote tracks. So we knew we had the animal interested, we just couldn't bring them out in the open. So then we started calling in the bush. And it got so exciting to see four coyotes come at once, not trying to wind you. They know the rabbit's dying. They know the deer's dying in the bush. And that's the ultimate, to have four or five coyotes rushing in on you with their guard down, because they know that the deer's dying in the bush. They're not being as cagey as trying to wind you from a downfield wind.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, so we've got the two ways. We've got we've got hounds, and we've got the calling. And I know in my area, I'm in the Lindsay area. I know of two groups that still use the dogs. In fact, I know one guy. He's got some hounds, and he's actually got a Springer Spaniel that chases them too. So it's kind of interesting, the whole dog element. And if you've ever hunted deer with dogs, you'll know, or rabbits or anything like that with hounds, you'll know how exciting that is. Now, calling, like you say, it's not as easy as just putting a decoy out and calling. There's a lot more to it until you've actually hunted them. In terms of, you're saying in the cold weather, obviously it's good, but what about this time of year when it's mild out? Can you offer any tips or advice to the listeners on that?
Yeah, they still come. I like to use territorial issues. When a coyote pack forms its family group, they're getting more wolfish because they're crossing with the wolf, but they actually take a territory up, and people think that they bark to tell them that they're on a hunt. Well, they don't bark to tell them they're on a hunt. They tell the surrounding groups of coyotes that this is my territory. You need to stay away from here because we're here. And for instance, to make it logical, if you were going to war, you wouldn't tell your enemy that you're approaching them by sounding off.
Right, right.
So the coyote's not going to tell its prey that I'm going for a hunt tonight. Watch yourself.
Yeah.
They're an opportunistic predator, so they like to be stealthy. So the sounding off makes a territorial issue, and if you bring those sounds and maybe even a coyote decoy to their field, that really works when you're in their territory.
I see. So they'll challenge, you know, a stranger coming into their area.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good tip. Now, obviously we're going to be shooting a longer range. I can just tell by, and like I say, I haven't actively hunted them, but for a firearm, for caliber, what's your go-to caliber that you like?
My number one rifle is 243. I really like it. I've actually, with the increase in the body size of the animals, we were shooting lighter, lighter, lighter all the way through the 70s, up in the 80s, and even in the first part of the 90s. You know, 222, 223.
Yeah.
Guys were even using 17 Remington, 7 fire. And so I'm a top speed guy, so I hand load, and we really like to shoot flat and fast. And I kept taking my 243 and my 22-50 and lightening up. And we need heavier bullets. So my caliber right now is 243 caliber with 80 grain bullets. And we're getting a lot more punch, a lot more knockdown, less high damage, not explosive tip, but still breaks up, you know, so you don't have to worry about ricochets. But so that's the rifle that I use, and you know, we're using a 3.5-inch 12-gauge and lead shot in the bush, and copper-plated lead still penetrates better than the steel.
We will return with more coyote and wolf mixing after these messages.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and 3 tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the 2 giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus knives stay sharper, longer.
Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Aquatic invading species are a growing threat to our lakes and rivers and the native species that call them home.
By taking 2 minutes to clean, drain, and dry your boat every time you take it out of the water, you will help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species into new water bodies. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Some people call them koi wolves, some hybrids. Either way, it looks like they're here to stay. And veteran trapper and hunter Darcy Elkerton is here to chat about his observations and advocacy for coyote and wolf hunting in Ontario. It's some interesting things you brought up there. And when I was working in retail back in the 80s, 222, 22, 250 were very popular calibers. But I've heard, and you can probably give the listeners some observations on this, that since the 1980s, these coyotes, these 30, 35-pound coyotes are bigger now because of hybridization. Have you noticed that?
Yes, sir. I'm a fur harvester, so a lot of our fur has been prepared. And since 1973, I've been preparing the fur for our hunting groups, and done over 1,000 coyotes in my life. Their teeth were curved. They were more like a fox foot. They were narrow, a big fox and a small coyote. In the 70s and the 80s, and then in the 90s, when this hybridization started, I thought it were crossing with dogs. To be honest with you, I thought, gee, they're blocky or head. There must be a husky. And then I met a scientist named Dr. Patterson, and he made it simple for me. If they're crossing with dogs, why don't they have long, floppy ears and black curly hair?
Like a basset hound or something. Yeah,
that's right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I saw them breed. I've seen them together. I know that they do breed. It's just I don't think they conceive, and I don't think they raise those young. But the wolf, on the other hand, that crossed with the coyote, we can see that in their front ends now. Their teeth are much wolf strong for biting, for ripping, tearing. Not the fine tooth for catching rodents anymore.
Yeah, like the mousing kind of thing that they used to do. Now they're looking more at bigger game like deer, I guess, eh?
Yes, and a blockier skull, a blockier front end, and now they don't step in line. They step more like a wolf or a dog. They're stepping out of line. Their front end is much more massive than their back end, and that's because the wolf species, as we go north farther, they hunt bigger game to live on, moose. So the middle of the province in your area is surrounded with quite a few of this eastern wolf. And we've got them up to 90 pounds. 90 pounds is
That's huge.
Yes, sir.
That's huge. And I've interviewed some scientists, biologists that are doing a lot of research on this, and it seems like it's an inevitable thing. These coyotes are incredibly adaptable. They never were in Ontario, apparently. They've just kind of worked their way further and further north. And there's no real turning back on it. Now, but getting back to the hunting part, as far as the hide quality, going from like a pure coyote to a wolf, there's obviously some difference in color, but what about quality of hide?
The wolves have a mane, and that's where you can really get to differentiate. They have a sort of a collar above their shoulders, and it comes into a mane. There's a long guard hair, and it's pretty easy to see that. It's too bad. I'd have to say this, but Ontario has some of the ugliest coyotes and wolves. it's terrible to say that. It's not what most people want. They want the western coyotes with the white bellies. They want the northern wolves with the really big, heavy fur. The quality of fur is up, though. They're not near as small as they used to be, so that's much better. And with the wolf population being so high in the north, you just couldn't sell the wolves years ago. Now there's starting to be a sale for wolf, and a lot of it's for taxidermy.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So, any other anything else you can offer the listeners? Maybe somebody who really wants to get started, but they've got an idea of caliber and some different techniques now. In terms of getting permission on property, you mentioned something about these animals range a lot. Any other advice you could give our listeners?
Yeah, you really have to be optimistic. You really have to think that you're going to be successful, or it seems to fail. So when I tell younger people that come to me, put on a set of skis, buy a mouth call, and go dress yourself with white, and I prefer if they had an orange hat on till they get to the location that they want to call from, because quite often the white of the camo is so good anymore you can't see it from the snow.
Right.
And just go to your ski till you find a fresh coyote crossing in the snow, and then sit and call. You know, just call and be prepared. If you're in the bush calling, you have that, like I said, 10 times the factor of calling in the open field. This bush hunting, you know, with a repeating firearm, with a shotgun, it's quite exciting. Even the 22 caliber with stingers, you know, up to 50 yards, they're very, very powerful. So young people can get into this with a minimal amount of experience, you know, get their permission and be safe. Make sure you wear orange till you're in your location. And that's a big tip. I'm really concerned. We were given a turkey. I was on the Wild Turkey Reintroduction Program, and we were given the turkey course, of course, to make sure that the decoys are so good and the calls are so good and we're always in camouflage that you don't sneak up on other hunters, you know. And trying to safety. Well, now the decoys that we can get into are so realistic, and I am a knowledgeable hunter. I've have years under my belt, and so I'm taking the turkey safety program and saying if your predator calling, you want to make sure your decoys are away from you, not perpendicular, more perpendicular than parallel with you, because you don't want another hunter stalking you, because a firearm is very flat shooting. So be wary, be safe, ask if there's other hunters on the property, and we don't want any accidents, that's for sure. We want to make sure everybody's having a safe and successful hunt.
And good advice. Never let your guard down, for sure. If you've got a decoy, put it in an orange bag or put it in some sort of a bag when you carry it, the same as like they tell you on the turkey course. Some good safety advice there, too. And Darcy, you've got a nuisance wildlife control business. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
We have a website, NWCINC, that's NWCINC.com, and we have our OCA phone number, 613-658-2223. We can give advice, and then quite often if somebody emails me about coyote situations with hunting, I'm very active in trying to support a hunting education program, and I've just been very fortunate to be in wildlife all my life and become a full-time wildlife guy. We have 16 trappers that work for us and 19 staff. And
nice.
And we speak for wildlife. We're not only trappers, we're here to manage, and we actually speak for, not every coyote is causing a sheep issue. You know, it's just some coyotes. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we certainly appreciate your efforts, and for all your listeners, if you have a nuisance wildlife problem, or if you just want to give Darcy an email, and if you're interested in getting started, or if you have a question or that sort of thing, or the OFAH, you can always use us as a resource too. Thank you so much, Darcy, for giving us some input into the world of coyotes and wolves and everything in between.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Managing coyotes and wolves when we return after these important words.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Did you know that the seeds of invasive plants can easily be transported to new areas in mud on the tires of all-terrain vehicles? Help to stop the spread of invasive plants by staying on designated trails and cleaning mud and debris from the tires of your ATV between trips. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. Wolves and coyotes are elusive, fur-bearing mammals that provide hunting and trapping opportunities in Ontario throughout different parts of the year. Southern Ontario offers year-round hunting, while the Northern Ontario hunting season runs from mid-September till the end of March. Ontario wolf populations represent one of the best protected and intact populations in Canada, as wolf conservation is addressed throughout deer, moose, forest and fur management legislation. Coyotes are common and abundant across most settled areas in the province, are very adaptable and more tolerant of human disturbances than wolves. Wolves and coyotes are currently managed as a single species by the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. The OFAH is seeking the separate management of grey wolves and coyotes in northern Ontario in order to increase hunting opportunities and help reduce wildlife conflicts. Alrighty, joining us is Mark Rickman, the Senior Wildlife Biologist for the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Mark, how are you doing?
It's all good, Randy.
Good stuff. Well, I've heard that recently, actually it was the MNRF that posted some regulation changes on the EBR about coyote and wolf hunting in northern Ontario. Those changes obviously gone through. The EBR now is closed. Could you bring the listeners up to date on what the changes are?
Yeah, sure. Coyote and wolf hunting in Ontario is kind of a mixed bag, really. So currently hunters in northern Ontario need a small game license and a separate game seal to harvest either wolves or coyotes, and are limited to two of those game seals per hunter per year. And the game seal, that's just what you tag the animal with, what you wrap around the animal to verify the harvest or to validate the harvest. The government was proposing to remove the requirement to purchase that additional game seal, but to maintain the two wolf bag limit. So ultimately, they were going to allow hunters to harvest wolves and coyotes in northern Ontario just under the authority of their small game license. And the goal was to make it easier for hunters to participate in wolf hunting and to finally manage wolves and coyotes separately as they should be managed in northern Ontario. So they're proposing to remove the game seal requirement but maintain a two wolf bag limit and remove the harvest limit for coyotes entirely.
Okay, and trying to get some people involved. I know in southern Ontario here, the coyote hunting, small game license, year round, go and have some fun.
That's right, yeah.
You know, a little bit different up north, and I guess they have some concerns about identification in terms of coyote and wolves, but From what I read, they decided that hunters can identify the difference between.
Yeah, initially wolves and coyotes were lumped in together on the game steal requirement because there was the thinking was that due to the intermediate size of eastern wolves and some of those hybrids, it might be difficult for hunters to distinguish them on the landscape. You know, distinguish a wolf from a coyote or an eastern wolf, which are protected. So that's why they instituted the game steal requirement to begin with. But MNRF research done in northeastern Ontario pretty well concluded that for the most part, hunters would be able to tell the difference. The body size between those animals is fairly noticeable on the landscape, so hunters would be able to tell that difference.
Okay, sounds good. So obviously had an EBR, had some comments, some people speaking their mind on these things. Any news?
Yeah, so the proposal went through the public consultation phase, and there are, you know, tens of thousands of responses submitted, petitions, form letters. It turns out there was very little support for that proposal, unfortunately. I don't think as many hunters wrote in as, you know, would actually support the proposal. So the government at this time has decided not to proceed with that proposal. So wolf and coyote hunting across Ontario will remain as it is currently. There are no changes planned.
So the same, but, you know, Mark, very, very important that our listeners do know that you do require a game seal in some parts of Ontario. And, you know, I know in at least in Wildlife Management Unit 56, let's say, Minden-Haliburton, absolutely you have to have these game seals, and you do need to purchase them.
That's right, yeah, and actually there are even some complete prohibitions on hunting and trapping in the townships, in many of the townships surrounding Algonquin Provincial Park, in order to protect eastern wolves, and that includes coyotes. That effectively affords protection to eastern coyotes, which are non-native to Ontario, and in my opinion are actually a significant threat to you know, the genetic purity of eastern wolves. So we're protecting the eastern coyote, which hybridized with eastern wolves, and over time we could see the disappearance of a pure eastern wolf as a result.
Yeah, I've talked to some experts on the show last year, if you remember, discussing the same topic, and that, you know, the coyotes are making their way further and further north. They're breeding with the wolves and washing out that gene pool. And if I had to compare it, I would compare it to black ducks and mallards. And if any of the listeners know from, 30, 40 years ago, there were black ducks everywhere. And now not too many black ducks around anymore because they're interbreeding with the mallards. So protecting the coyotes along with the wolves is maybe not the best solution.
Yeah, I don't have an alternative recommendation on how to manage it, but it is a major concern of the OFH that over time, the protection afforded to eastern coyotes might actually hinder the protection of the eastern wolf in the long term.
Right. And of course, in the southern regions, we remain the same, small game license, and we can hunt anytime.
That's right.
Yeah, perfect. So for the listeners who, and there again, I've run across people as recently as last fall when I was deer hunting that were unaware of this. You really need to read your regulations. You need to, if you're going to go hunting for something, you need to read the regulations. You need to understand them. If you're going to hunt for coyotes, you know, north of a certain area, and I don't have the boundary here, but I can tell you that you need these game seals. Anything to add, Mark?
No, other than that, you know, the OFH, we're pretty disappointed that the proposal didn't go through. We've been pushing for improvements to wolf and coyote management in Northern Ontario for about a year and a half, 2 years now. So prior to the implementation of the Moose Project, which is how the government actually framed this proposal, they were framing to liberalize predator harvest in the north to benefit moose populations, and that's a noble goal, but we've been pushing for it for longer and for different reasons, simply because there's more than enough evidence to suggest that these species can be managed separately, and that's really the appropriate way to do so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and for the listeners, email us with your comments. Next time an EBR comes up, we'll let you know right away and voice your concerns. That's how we get things changed. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks, Randy.
Do you want to go fishing but don't have the time? Our next guest talks about a unique opportunity close to Toronto that may just be right for you. So joining us today is Malcolm Mason. He's the chairman of the board of directors for the Franklin Club. Malcolm, welcome to Angling Hunter Radio.
Thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure to be here.
I had an opportunity to have a look at the website, and I would encourage our listeners, especially we'll give you some details a little later on, to check this website out. Truly a fishing paradise, and some great video on there. A little bit of video of Rick Mercer on there fly fishing, and talk about somebody being totally out of their element. But really, really cool stuff. What can you tell the listeners? Tell them a little bit about the Franklin Club, Malcolm.
Well, the Franklin Club is a private fishing club. It's been established for over 100 years. It was started by some doctors from Toronto. And it's evolved into a year-round fishing club for its members, for its private members, for their families. There's walking trails. There's three fishing lakes, two ponds and a main lake, where you can either fly fish or spin cast fish for brook trout and rainbow trout. There's a hatchery that's housed at the facility itself where we raise the fish. So there's a marine biologist who takes care of, who's also the manager.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, who so we raise our own fish and stock. So the members are encouraged to either they can catch and release or take some fish home if they like.
Right.
And it's just a little oasis just north of Toronto.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, whereabouts exactly are you located?
It's just south of the town of Mount Albert.
Okay.
So it's basically Harold Road in McCowan is the nearest main intersection.
Wow, so it's not that far away. And anything else besides fishing? Have you got other facilities there?
Well, there's 200 acres, so there's walking trails. Like campsites with fire where you get a barbecue.
Nice.
There's the there's many people go there just to chill out because there's a dining facility with a lovely deck so you can eat out or just lounge and read a book.
Oh, perfect! So there's like a restaurant there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and they cook trout there, I presume.
They will cook trout. They have a number of things on the menu, but they will cook trout. Absolutely.
Okay, so obviously a closed club. Do you take on new members? Is that something that you entertain doing?
One thing we're having to attract and get knowledge of the club, get awareness of the club, and hopefully from there, we can meet some potential new members.
Yeah, and this would fit nicely for a family who's maybe interested in getting involved in the outdoors, doing a little bit of fishing, maybe some camping, that sort of thing.
Yes, it's one of the main reasons I joined about 5 years ago. It's so close to Toronto, with the limited time that people seem to be having now, it's getting tighter and tighter. So it's to have a place that's so close that has fantastic fishing that you can bring your family, get them involved, either in the sport of fishing or just in the general enjoyment of the outdoors. It's a very unique little oasis so close to Toronto. Yet when you're there, it feels like you're in Northern Ontario.
Right. And for listeners who maybe cannot make the open house, is there an opportunity if they want to be a member to come up for a tour or that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So Julie Powers is our membership director. She can be reached through the website, and you can set up a separate time to come if you can't make the open house.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to tell us about this great little spot not far from Toronto, the Franklin Club. And this is Malcolm Mason, of course, the chairman of the board of directors. And have yourself a great day, and maybe I'll bring my fly ride up there and join you someday.
It would be great to have you up there, Randy.
Excellent. You have yourself a great day, Malcolm.
Thanks, Randy.
For more information on the Franklin Club, go to www.franklinclub.ca or contact Julie Powers at 905-473-1469. There's nothing better than opening day of walleye season. But be safe this weekend and remember, the water's cold, so wear your PFD. Until next time, be safe. I'm Randy Jennings.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you? Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Don't forget, you can check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web at anglerandhunterradio.ca or wrboradio.com.